Hi, everybody. This is Ted Bell reminding you the Phil Henry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealer.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Power outages that darkened the eastern United States and parts of Canada were not linked to terrorism, and electricity was, quote, starting to come back, end quote, according to New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg this evening. And I have a very good friend of mine and a dear friend and an associate, a business associate in New York. In fact, I tried calling David earlier today. We couldn't get through on the cell or the regular lines, but he is with us on the line now from his home. You're on Long Island now, David? Are you back home?
Yeah, I just got back home a little while ago from JFK.
And you were coming out here to visit us, and we were going to have a barbecue on Saturday, and now it's like touch and go, huh?
That was the only reason I was going.
Right, right. Just to come on out and get the hell out of there. And now you can't.
No.
Now, David, you were in the airport when everything's just kind of shut down?
Yeah, I was over in JFK. My flight was going to leave, I think, about 4:45 New York time. And I think it's about 4:15. All of a sudden, you heard the little sizzle, and everything went out. And the terminal wing that I was in just, I mean, it went dark. I mean, it was still light outside because it was only 4 o'clock. But as it kept going, 5, 10, 20 minutes, all of a sudden you started getting a little warm, and nobody was saying anything, and then finally, about 5 o'clock, 5:15, some guy just gets up in a American Airline uniform, says, "Okay, get out of the airport." Yeah, airport's closed. I mean, that's exactly what happened.
Airport's closed.
Airport's closed. Everyone has to leave the airport.
So now you're leaving the terminal, and now you're out onto the street where the taxis and the buses and the cars drop people off, and everybody's trying to flag a cab, I imagine.
It was unbelievable. All I can say is thank goodness I actually drove there.
Oh.
And I only had a carry-on. So when I heard that people weren't going to be able to get their baggage, I hate to bring up his name, but I OJ'd it out of there and got in my car. But the lines and the cabs, I can't imagine what it would have been like even a half hour after I left.
So you got out of there just in time. What time did you leave, David?
I probably made it into my car at about 5:15.
All right, so we heard that the lights went out at just after 4 o'clock?
Yeah, they said 4:12 from what I've heard on the radio here.
And you got into your car, and how was the traffic leaving JFK out to Long Island?
Not as bad as I'm sure it was a little later on, but
yeah.
I was taking a highway on the southern part of Long Island, the Belt Parkway, and it was, you know, like it is on the 101 and, you know, the 405. It's
right.
No different during rush hour. But it was moving enough where it was moving, and you weren't, like, panicking yet.
And you made it home.
Yeah, it took me about an hour and 15 minutes, what otherwise would take 20 minutes. But, yeah, and it, you know what? People were pretty reasonable. There were not a lot of aggressive drivers that I saw. You had some just civilians who all of a sudden, you know, started playing traffic cop, and you know, you wanted to laugh, but you realize, you know what, good for them. And they stopped traffic one way, and people, for the most part, were observing it.
That's cool. So there were people out there, just regular Joes, decided, well, you know, somebody's got to take this situation in hand.
Yeah.
So they started helping with the traffic. That's beautiful. Now, David, you were in New York on 9/11. I'm not trying to connect the two events, although the effect on the city in terms of just in getting from one place to the next was similar. And I'll never forget the story you told me about just walking uptown. I mean, you were just getting everybody, just rivers of people because the transportation was out.
I certainly couldn't see it this time, but once I finally got into the car and was able to get a radio station on, of course, all the reporters are describing, I haven't seen something like this. And of course, it brings me back to September 11th with just people teeming across the bridges and up the avenues. Thank goodness I was coming out to see you, because I would have hated to have been in that city, and particularly underground.
Now, before we get into that, but I want to ask you a question as a New Yorker who lived through 9/11. When you got in the car and you got on the road and you flipped the radio on, what were you thinking? Not again, man. This can't be Al-Qaeda again.
For some reason, that was not the overpowering thought at all. The last 15 or so days, give or take a day or two, have been disgusting here. I know it's been hot out there, but we're talking 15 days in a row of 85, 90 degrees with 100% humidity.
Right.
Something had to break.
Yeah.
And so I think all of us might have thought terrorism for a second, but I think all of us realized this has been brutal here, and you know, this should have probably happened a while ago.
It only makes sense, right, with all the power demands.
Yeah, and from what Mayor Bloomberg said on the radio a little while ago, at least in New York, that I guess this happened somewhere upstate New York, NIMO, Niagara Mohawk.
Yes, that's the power grid up there.
Yeah, and then I guess the grids actually in New York shut themselves down.
What happened, it cascaded because the three major grids in the United States are all interconnected, but the one that affects you guys is called the Eastern Grid, and it is all connected between Eastern Canada and the eastern part of the United States. And when one grid falters, when there's an oversupply, because of the interconnectedness of all these power companies, then it begins to trip other ones. It's fortunate that probably more didn't go down, because Florida is connected to you guys in a remote way. Georgia is. But the cities were primarily New York, Cleveland, I believe, Detroit, Ottawa, Toronto, and those. I don't know if Boston got it or not. Now, you're on Long Island right now, David?
Yes.
Do you have power out there?
No. Okay. From what I understand, actually, it was very interesting. I mean, there was no power coming back. And I go through about a half a dozen to seven towns to get to where I live. There were actually two traffic lights in two different towns that were working. I got back here, and I called my father, who lives about three towns away. I'm calling to see how he's doing. Hey, Pop, how you doing? He's fine. I go, how you guys holding up in the heat?
Yeah.
He's like, the lights are on here.
He doesn't even know what happened?
No. I mean, yeah, he knows what happened, but it didn't affect his town. He goes, Rockwell Center must be on a separate power grid.
Yeah. Well, Mark Newman, my engineer, called his dad, who's just outside of Boston. And, of course, the news had been on the air for probably 45 minutes. And Mark says, Dad, I'm calling to see how you are. He goes, why? He says, well, haven't you heard? He says, I haven't heard anything. He's been taking a nap. All of juice is on in Boston, but Toledo's out. Well, so now what's going to happen, folks, because David and I were talking about this, you're going to see if you can get out of there. Are you going to try to see if you get out of there tonight?
No, there's no way I'm going to try tonight. They basically said that flights, if they can leave, would not leave until midnight.
Okay.
And so I love you, man, but I'm not going to do that.
Well, no, that's cool.
But between all the people, I mean, I cannot imagine what it's going to be like tomorrow. Between all the people that couldn't get on today, plus all the people that were supposed to leave tomorrow, I can't even imagine. It's like going to be like that Die Hard 2 scene, you know, when everyone's running around the airport.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, perhaps some plans will be postponed, but take it as it comes. But you say if it seems to be a feasible thing, maybe you'll get out of there tomorrow, huh?
Yeah.
But they have closed down LaGuardia, Kennedy, all the area airports.
Yeah, Newark.
Yeah.
And all the little regional ones, Farmingdale. They were still accepting incoming planes. Based on some generator backup system.
Yeah.
And I actually live over, unfortunately, I'm about 20 miles from JFK. I'm on the path of JFK with a lot of the landings, and I haven't heard a plane come over now, probably in the hour I've been back.
Well, the mayor said that the power should be back up to speed tomorrow, and this is an overload. People need to know that this is strictly, simply an overload. The lines begin to sag. They begin to trip emergency systems. And the next thing you know, you're out of juice. So that's all there is to that. We're really glad you called, David. And I'm glad that you're okay, because we were trying to call you earlier. And we hope to see you Saturday.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the call. I rather would have missed the call and been on the plane.
Right.
Well,
that's what I said. Maria said to me, well, you can't call David because he's on the plane. I said, oh, he already left. She said, yeah. I said, okay. So we were expecting you, and I tried calling Peter Trippi, who's another friend of ours. And Peter is, because of the last name that he has, you can well imagine where he's at. And so I said, forget that. So it's good that you called us. We're very happy that you're all right.
Well, I am. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And enjoy the show today, and I'll call you tomorrow and see what happens.
Thank you, David.
All right, thanks, bro.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's David Katz. He's a friend of mine. He also is my agent. When I say business associate, he represents me in the varied and wide-ranging things that we do.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, no, he's been a good friend and a good business partner for many years. And he lives out on Long Island, and you heard the story. If you just missed it, David was in JFK when the power went out, got into his car. He was one of the smart few. Well, I can't say the people that didn't drive weren't smart, but he just happened to be one of the lucky few, I suppose, that drove their car to the airport. So he was able to get back out to his car, get on the Long Island Beltway, and just get home before the traffic really started to go ape and everybody else is screaming for a taxi. And if you've seen the images on television, if you guys haven't been near a TV today, it's kind of reminiscent of 9/11. There's no terrorism involved. There's no, just so you know, there isn't any of that. But it just, you see these rivers of humanity flowing along the bridges and along the avenues and the boulevards of New York as people are going in and out of the city. As the result of this power outage that happened this afternoon around 4 o'clock New York time. And in a moment, we come back here on the Phil Henry Show. I'll give you a general idea as to what happened. We'll compare it to other big blackouts they had in 77 and 65. We'll also talk a little bit about what some people are afraid of, and that is perhaps a night of looting. you know, crime and this kind of thing. And also, it all kind of falls back to one major, major point that needs to be made, which is turn off the freaking lights if you're not using them. Turn your air conditioner off. And that goes for you, Chris, my kid Chris. He's here today. You even leaving those lights on when you guys go to bed at night. Yeah, you. I know it's you. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're going to be in kind of news gathering, news reporting mode today. So we'll be taking phone calls probably through most of the show if you got something to add. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
You know, I only bring up the looting question because there was in New York in 77, during the 1977 blackout, that was in July. But the times were so different. New York in 1977 was bankrupt. The city was probably at its lowest point ever. Just ever. New York was in a terrible, terrible distress. We'd come through the 1960s and the urban rioting, and so I think there was a sense of open season in the culture. I don't believe for a minute, especially after 9/11, and especially I think the way New Yorkers are responding today, that there's going to be that kind of problem tonight. We're also hearing that Governor Pataki says, as well as the mayor, that the juice could come on as early as this evening, but by tomorrow they ought to be back in business. By the way, watching you guys on ABC, CBS, Fox, all these TV channels, it's stunning how many crank callers get through. A guy just got through on Ted Koppel, plugging his website, and Koppel thinks he's talking to some guy who's a Con Ed engineer. And while my admiration for crank callers is, you know, it's some of them are funny. Most of them are really not funny at all, and of course, none of them get on the air on our show because we are, without a doubt, our entire show itself is a crank show. And so they never get on this program. But when I do hear them, I always think, boy, you guys that are screening the calls there, what did you get out of bed to do this morning other than just look like a jackass? And the guy, today, this cat is plugging his website, and Koppel is too thick to know what's going on. Because Koppel is too busy with the finger in the ear and the weird Mo Howard haircut, he can't figure out what's up and what's down. Guy is so full of himself, so full of the sound of his own voice, I'm dead gobble. You know, he's so full of just his big nose and his big head and his big hair that he doesn't know that somebody is just up your giggy with a wah-wah brush. Stick it in and break it off. So that guy is getting cranked. Do yourselves a favor. Anybody, I know that nobody listens to me, and that's fine. You don't have to listen to me. But just if there's anybody out there listening to me, please take heed of one thing. There's a thing called a delay system you can install. Now, if it costs a lot of money, I guarantee it's worth it. You can get your station on a 7-second or a 10-second delay, and anytime anybody cranks you, you can dump it back to the program line, and you never have to worry about that ever again. And that's what kills crank callers. They can't get on the air, so they die. They die a slow, horrible, running sore of a death. But do you think ABC and CBS, you think anybody over there can figure that one out yet? For years, remember the OJ thing? They had a cat cranking a dude then. Then Bob Hope croaks, somebody cranking a cat then. Today, they're calling up their cranking couple. And these people are so dumb. I mean, these newsreaders, they're just so dumb, they don't get it. You'd think there'd be somebody at the top, the upper echelons of ABC or wherever. Who's the guy that runs? Who makes the decision? Who's the guy? Let's take CBS. Les Moonves. Is that his name? Hey, Les, why don't you invest in a delay system so Dan Rather doesn't sit there with freaking egg dripping down his chin? Looking like he just got out of a you-know-what kind of movie. And hey, who runs NBC? Robert Wright. Get a delay system, something. People that answer phones in the newsroom that aren't so hot and bothered to beat the competition at the story, that they, you know, can't stop down for a second and say, well, are you really who you say you are? And you know what? We'll call you back on a number that we use. This kind of thing. These guys are so intent on scooping each other, so intent on getting the big story, they wind up with a big piece of yolk dripping off their nose and just toweling off. Just toweling off.
Cut.
Beautiful, Dan. I mean, it's just disgusting. And who's the guy that runs the other one, ABC? What's his name? Lloyd Braun. Your boy Koppel. What can I tell you, Mr. Braun? You people, you've been through this enough. Get a delay system. Get something going on there so that you don't look like the biggest horses you-know-whats the world has ever seen. New York City and its associated fire departments and hospitals are operating on emergency generators. All three New York area airports are now fully operational, according to officials. Fully operational. So you heard David there just moments ago saying that, well, he didn't want to try to get out of New York tonight because there's going to be a, it's going to be like freaking, you know, Altamont, 1969. So he may wait till tomorrow. I suspect that the situation is going to, you know, chill out. You know, in other words, I think that he'll be out of there by tomorrow. All right, now, what is a power overload? An excessive amount of electricity flowing through transmission lines can cause them to overheat and sag. An excessive amount of electricity. This results in permanent damage to lines and poses a safety risk. When electric utilities find that lines are overloaded, they turn the power off to avoid damage and legal trouble. Severe overloading, however, can start a chain reaction that almost always ends in a blackout if power consumption is not decreased. To avoid this, power companies attempt to redirect the power previously delivered by the overloaded transmission lines over other lines of the grid. This poses a risk of also heating up and sagging the other lines. The cycle can repeat until a blackout occurs or power consumption decreases. Now, here's the most important part of all of this. Recovering power after a blackout is very hard due to cold load pickup. Cold load pickup means the grid needs to provide more power to start transmission than it does to maintain transmission. So it's going to take more juice to get this thing back up and running than it did just to provide normal service to the consumers of these areas. That's a lot of electricity. That's a lot of juice. That's why it's not just a matter of going back over and resetting the breaker switch. This is also because electrical devices, now dig this. I bet you guys didn't know this. Electrical devices are usually not unplugged and lights are not disconnected from the power grid when an outage occurs. When restoring power, all electrical devices connected to the grid simultaneously need an instantaneous power surge to start up. So if you've got a light on, if you've got electricity running in the house, you didn't turn it off, okay, you got to start unplugging that stuff and give the grid a chance to upgrid, to upload, to downgrid. You know what I'm saying? So turn off the lights, turn off the electricity, just turn it all off. Turn off this radio. If it's a battery operated, don't turn it off. It's a great thing about radio. Radio, battery operated. Yeah! Even solar radios exist, but not television. Got it all over you today, TV. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Yeah, That's right. That's right. Radio. You know, the whole world is falling apart. The whole world is going to hell in a handcart, but radio is still there, huh? We don't need no, you don't want to plug us into the wall, man. We're battery operated. You can take us anywhere. You can take us to hell. You can take us to the gates of hell. We're radio. Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Of course, they had a guy on TV. They were interviewing people on the street, CNN or one of the news channels, and they're sticking a microphone into the cars. And naturally, predictably, somebody says, "Well, I don't have, there's no police. And what? Why did this happen?" And hey, it happened, man. There was a blackout. Well, why? Why? Because you're using your freaking lights too much. What do you think of that? Oh, you're just a fascist. There's no police. And I thought after 9/11, we cured all these problems, that there'd never be any pain again, that I'd never have flaming hemorrhoids again, that I could sit down and it would just feel cool and nice. Oh, man. Tell you what, see that bridge there? Yeah. Just drive off the bridge and right into the East Bay. What's killing me, though, is, you know, life, ladies and gentlemen, just keeps right on happening, doesn't it? Just when you think this place has turned into Disneyland and you can't get hurt, life just keeps right on happening. We got ourselves a blackout in the Northeast. Ain't the first time. Won't be the last, probably. It's electricity. You know, we flip a switch on. Boy, that Thomas Edison, for a guy that people consider to be mentally retarded, he created a bigger problem than he could ever conceive of. Edison, the guy that gave us electricity, I mean the light bulb, and the Edison Electrical Companies, and the Niagara Project, and he went to London and helped them power up their electricity. You want to know why they call Broadway the Great White Way? Because the electricity that flowed through that street in the 1880s. Edison, that's the guy that started all of this, a guy that people thought was retarded when he was a kid. That's how far out he was. And little did he know that people would come to rely on his invention of the light bulb and his ability to conduct electricity into the home, to the point where it's just a flick of the switch, that when we don't have it, everybody starts complaining like it was, you know, it's their right, it's their birthright to have electricity. And it shows me that we're not prepared for a terrorist attack. And everything. Right now, the New Yorkers are doing what they need to do. They're walking home. The New York blackout also forced the evacuation of Shea Stadium and the postponement of Thursday night's game between the Mets and the San Francisco Giants. Apparently, nobody has noticed, though, because they hadn't sold one ticket for the game anyway. Now, that coming from the office of Major League Baseball. We spoke to the mayor's office and the police department. They advised us to call the game, Mets spokesman Jay Horowitz said. However, we hadn't sold any tickets for the game, so we didn't have to evacuate the building. Shea Stadium was supposed to be evacuated because of the power outage, but when Mets officials showed up in the stadium, they found no fans sitting there. The game was called about an hour before the scheduled 7:10 p.m. start. No makeup date has been announced and will not be announced until they can determine if there is interest in a makeup game on the part of the fans. One of the Mets players was said to say, "We're surprised no one's here. Last night we had 20 people sitting behind home plate." Giant star Barry Bonds was not with the team. He returned to the Bay Area on Thursday for a wax job on his ass. All right. There we have a little sports news for you. And just to repeat, they ain't got no electricity in New York. So what do you think about that? Or in Toronto, or in Ottawa, or in Cincinnati, or Cleveland, or wherever the hell it is. Now, there's three big main fat grids. See, people say, well, what do you mean by that, Phil? Here's what I mean by it. When they started piping electricity into houses, it was little companies that were doing it all over the place. Edison had a company in New Jersey. Then he helped start up a company in Buffalo, New York. And while he did that, there was a company out on the West Coast powering homes out here in Pasadena. Then there was one up in Oregon. And as these little electrical companies began to grow and service bigger and bigger areas, they began to connect with each other. And they began to connect and began to share energy until you had a large grid that represented a certain area. And because of all of this, we've broken those grids up into three. One is Western, one is Eastern, and one is what they call the Texas grid. Texas shares energy with Mexico. The East Coast grid is between Canada and the United States, and the West Coast grid is between Canada and the United States. What we're talking about here is this Eastern Grid. And they've had problems before. This is the Niagara Mohawk Power Grid, one of the central energy-producing areas of this big Eastern Grid. They had some problems there, and they had an over-demand, and that's what happens. This is exactly what happens when there's an over-demand. We got a whole lot of people using a whole lot of electricity, sports fans, and we're obviously not keeping up in terms of how we can supply that. We are, you know, we're not keeping up in terms of how we can supply the more, you know, the extra amount of people, the extra amount of computers, the extra amount of electric toothbrushes or whatever, that we got to keep supplied with juice. So all that stuff costs money. Now, we had a problem here in California, which everybody is pointing the finger at everybody else. You see, deregulation is one of the culprits. Deregulation is one of the big selling jobs that the whole Republican conservative movement in this country has tried to give to you. It's called deregulation. Get the government out of the way. Just deregulate and let business conduct business because they're way smarter than any government. Yeah, is that right? Well, they can also be crooked, too. They can also overspend and they can also overprice and they can do a lot of damage. And that's exactly what happened. Nobody foresaw that. What we got here is Davis getting blamed for it all. Now you got a guy who calls himself a Republican, when in point of fact he's at best a progressive Republican and probably a Democrat. By the name of Schwarzenegger, he's got all those right-wingers conned into believing that he's the savior of the state. Yeah, uh-huh. Watch out, baby. But in any event, getting back to the power shortage, that's what happened here in the state of California. Now, I understand that deregulation also means that we can start selling juice to Canada as well as buying it. There's a lot of pluses. But the fact remains that the problems we had here in California were based solely on the greed, stupidity, and criminality of the parties involved. Rolling blackouts, rolling brownouts. I got your rolling brownout. Now, in New York and in the areas affected by this blackout, you've got an over-demand. You've got a lot of people using a lot of juice. Nobody's figuring it out yet, right? Stop freaking using so much electricity. How about that one? I'm turning all the computers off in the house, Chris. I just want you to know. And the TVs, too. In fact, tonight we're going powerless. We are. Tonight we're turning everything off. We're going candlelight in what do they call it? Sympathy with the people in New York. And you guys out there ought to do the same thing. All candlelight tonight just to show that we're in the same boat, huh? Just like Little House on the Prairie. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. Let's show a little solidarity for once in our lives in this country. Let's show that we're in tune with the folks in New York. Turn your stupid lights out tonight. Or you got something important to do on the computer? What is that, man? You got to get another game of Halo? You got to hook up to that Myth tournament? No more electricity tonight. I'm turning everything off. We're going to go by candlelight. I want everybody on the trampoline tonight at 9. Chris is all bare in his face. And, you know, I'm telling you, you know, something's got to give. My wife and I told you about when we went to that hotel in Mexico, they had no electricity. The whole place was just candlelight, and they just had solar heating in the kitchen. It was fantastic, as long as you only have to stay there a week. Live that way? I don't know. They're saying that some doctors in New York completed surgery without electricity. I mean, what are you going to do, right? Just walk away? Well, that's it. I can't. What are you doing? I can't see. I'm not going to operate anymore. I'll see you later. This is an open-heart surgery. The guy's going to die. What, do you want me to operate in the dark? Is that it? What if I went and got a flashlight? You got one? No. Well, I'm not waiting for you to go out to your car and get it. All right, coming back, we'll talk about the 65 blackout. And then the 77 blackout. Two totally different events in terms of how people dealt with it. You know, people are really interesting. In 65, they acted like civilized human beings, but in 77, animals. Just freaking animals. We'll talk about that, and I'll give you a little history lesson on that stuff. And also, the Niagara Mohawk Power Corporation, and, you know, what the problem is with those guys. 1-800-449-8686. We're going to be in news mode today. And, oh, you know what? We got Peter on the line from New York as well, so we're going to talk to Peter Trippi, who's in New York, who's another very good friend of ours. Peter works with us here at the Premier Radio Networks, and we're going to find out how he found his way home this afternoon there in New York. and other fun stuff. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, Peter Trippi is a colleague of ours in New York, and he's on our, what do we call this, a newsmaker line? You there, Peter?
I think it's a makeshift newsmaker line.
Yeah, makeshift, sort of a half-assed newsmaker line. And
yeah.
One of the great half-assed people in the world, Peter Trippi. All right. Now, Peter is a very dear friend, and he is a colleague, and he helps sell this piece of crap of a radio show out there in New York. Now, Peter, you are in a van, and you're just getting out of town now, right?
I'm in a van with 8 strangers,
now,
all very nice people.
Really? Now, are you in what part of New York are you in right now?
Well, we got to New Jersey. We got to New Jersey a little while ago, and I'm in a town called Summit, so I'm actually almost home.
Now, what do you mean strangers, Peter? You all decided to share a car?
We all met at a rental car place.
Okay.
And we all raised our hand and said, "Who's from New Jersey?" And it turns out that we have a 8 of us that are from New Jersey, and we all live somewhat close. There's a few of us who don't. And so we're all gathered together. We all rented a car, and here we are. It took us, I guess, from 4:30 to about 10 to 8 now.
That's brilliant.
Eastern time.
4:30 to 10 to 8?
Yeah.
So that's 3.5 hours?
Yeah. I mean, we all know each other. We're going to name our kids after each other.
Each other? Yeah, you guys get to have dinner, have a barbecue this weekend.
And we picked up 2 people at the tunnel, at the Holland Tunnel, at the Lincoln Tunnel, coming out of New York, 2 strangers, and we put them in the trunk.
Now,
of a van.
Seriously?
I'm not kidding.
In the trunk?
Yeah, in the trunk of a van. You know, they had light, they had air, but we kind of packed them in there. 3 people actually we put in there, and then we let them off when we got over the when we got under the tunnel through the river.
So they were just looking for a ride on the other side of the bridge.
Yeah, we picked them up and we gave them a ride.
Wait a minute. What do you mean the trunk of a van? Vans don't have trunks.
You know that? You know the van that has that little tiny space between the last seat?
Oh, that air! Oh my God!
A couple of suitcases.
You crammed
three big people back there.
So you guys, this is a very civilized thing. So you guys get together, you're on your way. Now, who's going to be the person to take the van back?
Well, this gentleman sitting next to me, Scott, who's going to take the van back. He's got the furthest to go. In fact, he's letting us all off now, and we're going to figure out how we're going to do this. But you know, we had a nice time. We bought pretzels.
Yeah.
And you know,
beer.
From a guy who was bringing his pretzel thing home. You know, he sold hot dogs and pretzels, and here we are.
So you were buying pretzels and hot dogs off a guy who's on his way home too. But he had a pretzel truck.
He was stuck. He was stuck waiting to get through the tunnel, and we asked him if he would sell us some stuff, and he did.
That's beautiful, man. Now, Peter, where are you coming from in New York? You're in Manhattan there.
Yeah, I'm coming from Midtown Manhattan.
Right.
And now I'm going to pay the guy that drove me here. How much do I owe you, Scott?
I have no idea.
He has no idea how much we have to pay.
Well, you guys rented the car for how much?
But he could, you know, what do you think we should pay this guy? I mean, should I give him 20, 40
I think from
bucks?
Yeah, I'd say 20. $5 is good enough.
I think so.
Yeah, 5 spot. And then you know, tell him you really appreciate it and you'll never forget it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So he's going to take the van back. And now what are you doing? You're going to get on the train?
Then I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat.
Now, but Peter, how far are you? Just walking home now?
No, my wife's picking me up.
Where are you at? Like a parking ride?
Yeah, I'm at the train. Actually, he drove me to the train station. So we're all kind of getting off here.
Yeah.
And then everybody from this point on is going to find a ride or get somebody else to take them back. And
your wife, when did you finally get cell service, by the way? Because we tried calling
just
you.
Just a few minutes ago, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's why, because you called me and I couldn't get through.
Yeah. So Midtown, so 3.5 hours to get from Midtown Manhattan down to where you live in Jersey, which is how many miles from New York?
Which is about 25 miles, and I got to tell you, it's not bad. We did very well.
Did you?
We did very well. There's a 6-hour wait. In fact, this gentleman wants to get going, so I'm going to have to get out of this.
All right. Well, I thought you were just walking someplace.
No.
You should just stiff him and keep going. No, that's very kind of you.
He wants me to stiff you.
Yeah. Just, Peter, the best of luck, the best of health. We're happy that you're okay. And go Yankees, I guess. I don't know what the hell I'm saying.
Well, no, that's perfectly
Is that good?
Cool.
Okay, dude.
All Thanks, Phil.
You know what? But by the way, people could run to New Jersey in less of the time you took you guys, so you might want to dive. All right, thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Phil.
See you later, man.
Take care.
Bye-bye. How about that? People reaching out and sharing. They all rented a van together, eight strangers. Ain't that the way it ought to be, man? So that's New York. New York State Governor Pataki has declared a state of emergency in New York State, and that's really not a horrifying thing. It releases emergency funds, which will perhaps be used to try to get the power to where it ought to be, or perhaps it'll be used to sustain power, emergency power for people who need it, which would be patients in hospitals, people who perhaps are reliant upon electrically powered medical equipment. By the way, despite the blackout, our souvenir shop is still open on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. And I don't want to be self-serving and use a connection between the blackout and our website, but I think I will. You know, friends, when you're in the middle of a blackout, why not have the Jay Santos Auxiliary Police Watch? This is a brand new item in our souvenir shop, the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police Watch. You can hang it on your belt. You can hang it from your nose. You can do whatever you want with it. You can also get the pouch jacket and the hat. You will look like an official wannabe cop with all of your Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police gear. From the pouch jacket to the hat to the watch to the what else have we got in that Jay Santos shop? The mug, the coffee mug to keep you warm. You can walk around with the coffee mug that says Citizens Auxiliary Police, have your Citizens Auxiliary Police jacket and baseball cap. Then you have the watch, and you can walk up, like, say, if you lived in New York, you can just walk up and people go, if you want to just move it along a little bit, you know. Or, if you're a real wannabe cop, you just have the shot glass. Yes, the Phil Henry Show shot glass. You're just doing shots and beers in a bar someplace with your little watch hanging off your belt. And you can look like one of those pain-in-the-ass guys. But, you know, seriously, that was a nice story we heard about the people getting out of the cars and directing traffic that David was telling us. So why not do it in your Citizens Auxiliary Police gear and show that you can be like a real human being? It's all there in our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. Now, do we have a mailbag today? Because I don't know, Chris, if you were able to go through any stuff. We'll have it in the 6 o'clock hour, our mailbag. We also have our R.C. Collins email of the day. If you go to our website, you'll see that R.C. Collins is looking for advice. He's actually looking for you to tell Kobe whether he ought to pay this woman off or not. Pay her off to suddenly remember that he didn't rape her or not. That's also on our website. Check that out. We've got a nice link to the people who are keeping Ted Williams' head safe and sound. That's our new link of the week. And, of course, don't forget our genius of the week. Check that out on our website. This week, Simeon Rice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Wait till you read what he said. A real rocket scientist, this guy. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, the lights went out in New York today. We're in our Phil Henry Show news gathering, news shuffling, news sniffing. We're just the news pondering mode. The lights in New York, in upstate, in Ottawa, Toronto, in Cleveland, in Toledo, and other areas in what is called the Eastern Grid, it just shut down, baby. Bigger than life. And this is the third major blackout they've had in New York. The cause is being described as something relating to a lightning strike, according to the Canadian Prime Minister's office. Now, that's the latest that I have gotten. The Canadian Prime Minister says there was a lightning strike near Niagara, New York, and that is what caused the overload that eventually caused the grid to just start shutting down. When I say grid, what am I talking about? Does anybody really know what they mean by a grid? Well, what we're talking about here are three major grids in the United States. One is east, one is west, and one is called Texas. And I actually have it. It has a specific name. I don't know what the hell it is. I'll dig it out for you here in a second. Now, way back when, in the 19th century, when they started developing electric companies, and we're talking around in the late 1870s, early 1880s, when they began to actually put towns on electrical power. When New York, for instance, when Broadway was first lit with lights in the 1880s, that's why they called it the Great White Way, and all of these other romantic notions, they began to expand, and they began to serve ever widening areas until, for instance, a power company in New Jersey would connect with a power company in upstate New York and Buffalo, and then they connected and began to buy and sell energy from each other until all of that sort of formed one big eastern grid from the eastern portion of the United States all the way up north into eastern Canada. And that just became its own independent little grid. The West Coast and western Canada, and then Texas, which shares energy with Mexico. And something happened somewhere in the Niagara-Mohawk area of the grid. Well, again, the Prime Minister of Canada, the Prime Minister's office, they like the Prime Minister saying this, it's the office. I always think, you know, the Prime Minister of Canada, what do you think? Well, I think it's the lightning. You think, or the whole, I think. Well, you're just the Prime Minister. What do you know? Well, that's what I'm going to say, and you can just announce it, and I'll look like a genius. So just go out and say that. Well, is it the Prime Minister's office that I'm saying it? Lightning. And so what we had today was a blackout. New York with another blackout, baby. A lot of you are not old enough to either understand or remember that New York had a blackout in 1965. I remember it. I was like 12 years old when it happened. And, of course, the big thing then was, where were you when the lights went out in 65? Whoo! And they said that there was a baby boom 9 months later. Yeah, right. I got a big news flash for you. That's been debunked. They said it because the lights were out. Well, what did people do? Well, they just naturally had sex. Naturally, when the lights go out in an elevator, you just grab the nearest woman and have sex with her in front of like 15 different other people. Well, that turned out to be a load of old crap. And so then, but one thing about New York during 65's blackout, the New Yorkers were cool, calm, and collected. It happened in November. It was a relatively, you know, mild evening, and the lights came back on the next day. They're losing the lights at night, isn't that I guess because peak demand is in late afternoon. So that's why you generally see these nighttime blackouts. But 1977 was different. That was in the month of July. It was hot. It was muggy. It was rotten. It stunk to high heaven in New York. New York was in a very distressed state. If you're a history student of New York, you'll recall in 1977, New York was bankrupt. And the mayor of New York at the time went to Washington to ask for aid. He was asking for money from the city, from the federal government. For the city of New York, that's how bad it was. And he made one of the greatest statements I think I've ever heard anybody say when he was taking all this crap from these senators. He said, all we're asking for, Senator, is help for people the same way you give help to corporations. And who was the mayor of New York then? Abe? What do you mean, Abe Vigoda? Abe Lincoln? No, I forget who it was. But he made a great statement, and New York was in a bad way. So that when the blackout took place in 77, the people hit the streets, Harlem, Brooklyn, Bronx. Abe Hirschfeld, that's the guy that makes all the drawings. Get out of here with that. What they describe in those days, if you go back to Time magazine in 1977, you know, today we talk about urban areas. We talk about minority areas of a city. Back then, it was just the ghetto. And the ghetto exploded. And so there were Hispanic and African-American people looting. Black families, as they were called back then, in the ghetto. And the city was on fire, and the police were just, you know, it was a drag. So that thing went down, and, you know, there were more studies done as to why. Well, the whole city was just up in smoke anyway. Well, now here we are, post 9/11, another blackout. And, of course, people are worried about this idea that there may be some looting. But we're betting on this show there won't be any. New Yorkers are a much more mature lot of people, I guess, today. They've been through the tough times of 9/11. I don't see it happening. If it does, I'll be surprised. I think that the people are just going to hunker down tonight. According to the according to the mayor of New York City and the governor, some power is returning. Even as we speak, there is power returning to the airports. They're able to even get a few flights out of New York tonight. The power is returning as well to some of the trains. They're even getting some of the trains moving tonight. And the word is that they may have power back in a large enough quantity sometime tonight. But they are confident that by tomorrow they'll have the juice back on. President Bush is going to speak on the power outage at, what the hell is 0030 GMT? What channel am I watching? Is this Canadian television? Algeria? This is Algeria. This is Algeria Tonight. What am I watching? I got on a TV show, and it says here, Mozambique and you? What? In any event, President Bush is going to be speaking at 003 Greenwich Mean Time, which translates into 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific over most of your Phil Hendry stations. Now, according to the Canadian Prime Minister, lightning sparked a cascading effect, which one trips another, trips another, trips another. And that overloaded the system. But I dare say that, you know, there's a lot of us just using too much juice. Look, you know, I'm with you. Over 100 years of electrical power to the United States. We've been to the moon. We've gone back to the moon. We've landed a craft on Mars. We have the internet. You notice how that never goes down, does it? The internet doesn't go down. Of all the things that ought to go down, the internet. But no, that thing just keeps pumping right along. But every 5 years or so, there's not enough electricity for this, there's not enough electricity for that. What the hell is going on with the electrical companies of the country where we can't supply enough juice, but I can get online and go to www.sheepneedlove2.com anytime I want? I can get on www.tightandpinkcamels.com anytime I want, but I turn on a light switch, forget about it, baby. And I can do it on my Palm Pilot, if you'll pardon the expression. I can go to my Palm Pilot and check it out. But I want to flip a light on, I want to take a train home, and oh no, you can't do that. You can't do that because we had a cascading effect because someone farted in the wrong direction near Niagara Falls, and that tripped a switch, which tripped another switch, which killed the hamster that was on the treadmill that was keeping another hamster alive. And the next thing you know, there's like 19 million people ain't got no juice. And we're all supposed to sit here and go, well, you know, that's just kind of the way it is, you know, or I don't know, if people would just decrease their demand. If people would just decrease their demand. No, I got to decrease my demand. I'm upping my demand. I'm upping. I want to see, I'm going to stretch the limits of our power capability. I want to see exactly what you guys are capable of. I used to think, I was on your side for a while, until I saw that there's computers everywhere getting online, and there ain't nothing happened to that freaking internet. In fact, nobody can even explain the internet. No one even can tell you how it's powered, where it is, who runs it, why, what, when, where, I don't know. There's limited service restored on trains in the New York area, so that's good news. So if you have family or friends back there that you've been trying to reach, we just talked to two people. I just talked to Peter Trippi, who's in New York City. He's a very dear friend of ours, and also a friend, David Katz, who is out on Long Island. Both of those guys were coming from work today in New York. We've talked to both of them, and you can hear their conversations a little bit later on here on the Phil Hendry Show. So we'll take a break, and we will be taking phone calls tonight at 1-800-449-8686, because like I say, we're downshifting out of shtick mode tonight. Just doing a little news pickup here, just checking out to make sure that the world ain't coming to an end. Just kind of keep you guys chilled and thrilled, just to make sure that everything is the way it ought to be. And your mama, too. All right, so we'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, this is interesting. They are now confirming a lightning strike of the Niagara power plant is what started the cascading blackouts in the Northeast. So a lightning strike. Now, we got an internet that never goes down, but a lightning strike, huh? Now, I believe it, but my producer, Chris Pelton, thinks they're covering up for terrorists. And I said to Chris, you know, you need a week off, man. Just, you know, lay under a tree with the wife and kid. Have some lemonade. Just get out of here, will you? Because you're way too involved in your work. No, he didn't say that. But they were, and he reminded me, he said, this is true. In 1965, what was called the Great Northeast Blackout of 1965, there were some real screwballs blaming UFOs. UFOs were hovering over New York and blacking out the city. And in 77, they were blaming UFOs. Now, you have to remember something. In the 60s and 70s, that was the thing, UFOs. Everybody was into that, especially in the 70s. Especially in the 70s, when they were all a titter about the Bermuda Triangle. And I read a book in the 70s called Chariots of the Gods, written by Eric Von Doniggan, which claims that the Bible was written in response to extraterrestrial creatures that landed here on Earth, that the Ark of the Covenant was actually a primitive radio, that the chariot that Elijah went up to heaven in a flaming chariot was actually a rocket ship. And I'm hearing a dial tone. What the hell am I hearing here? Oh, shut up. Shut up.
It's the aliens.
Hold on, baby. I gotta get this thing out of my life. I'm sorry, folks, but this is driving me nuts. Shut up. Okay. I had a dial tone that was driving me ape. You know what? Freaking UFOs, that's what it was. Some cat from outer space is messing with me. War of the Worlds. Well, that was H.G. Wells, but the book Chariots of the Gods believed that the Bible was written by men who had encounters with extraterrestrials, and that Elijah's chariot to heaven was a rocket ship, the Ark of the Covenant was a radio, that it's possible Jesus was an extraterrestrial, that Adam and Eve were extraterrestrials, and they mated with the native animals, and that created men. And that centaurs and mermaids are actually based in some kind of fact that the aliens who landed here initially tried to mate with animals, and that's what happened, centaurs and mermaids. All of this was what we believed in the 60s and 70s. So is it any wonder why we think that the 65 blackout was caused by Martians? And then 77 as well. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And here's Maureen. Hello, Maureen.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Cool.
I was just listening to you, and you were talking about the 1977 blackout, and I was in that. I was a summer intern there in the summer.
Yeah? What were you doing?
I was working in a PR firm. It was a summer job from college.
Okay.
But I wanted to remind you, that was the summer of Son of Sam,
yes.
Also.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, that nutcase was running around. So turn your radio down there, Maureen, because you're listening to my mellifluous tones.
Oh, sorry.
You're hearing it twice. You're hearing me once, then you hear me again.
Well, I'm in my car, and I'm going to hang up, but I just had to remind you of that, because that really was a crazy summer. Not only was there the blackout, but there was the scary Son of Sam stuff.
Well, so people started burning the city down because they're afraid Sam started the blackout?
No, I don't think so, but I remember that as being a really scary
What did you
summer.
Do, by the way, what did you do during the whole Son of Sam thing? Were you, you know, teaming up with girlfriends to go home? Were you guys walking in large groups of people? What were you doing?
I really wasn't, because I was living in the city for the summer doing an internship from college. So
was he in
I
Brooklyn
was
mostly?
I was not teaming up with girlfriends too much because I didn't really have any in the city at the time, but believe me, I'd try to find some guy to walk me home.
When you were during that summer, was Sam?
I wasn't parking in any cars. I can tell you that.
I know, because he was shooting people over. Was he mostly in Brooklyn?
He was in Queens and Brooklyn. He really didn't affect Manhattan so much.
All right. Well, we're glad you're alive. Bye.
Good luck to all the blackout people.
Yeah, they're doing good. Yeah, it happened during rush hour, November 9th, 65, and then the one in 77 was in July of 77. The lights, and that's right, David Berkowitz was going ape in New York. This was a serial murderer who was hearing voices from God or some crap, and so he was running around plugging people. And now, have you seen this guy interviewed? Have you seen David Berkowitz interviewed? Now he's scary, man. He's got a scar on his throat. I think an inmate tried to cut his neck off, tried to cut his head off. And he also is still very mentally disturbed. Because even though he's turned his life over to Jesus, and you're hearing this guy say, boy, David Berkowitz is with us, and how's it going, David? Well, you know, I'm much better. I realized that I was a twisted and sick guy. And really, and you've turned yourself over to God. I am a Christian, which is fine. When you hear that, you hear a man who maybe he's gotten a hold of something that's very healthy. And then he starts to go wacky again. And the interview says, well, what? Well, I was involved in some satanic things. That's really the satanic stuff is what did it to me. And, well, what was it? Well, I can't go into it. But there was a satanic. And then you realize the guy's still crackers. You realize the guy is still nuts, because what was wrong with you, David, it was schizophrenia, paranoid schizophrenia that medication should be taken care of, and you ain't taking all your pills. You're still blaming the devil. So he was around, and that's when, and then they had the riot, or I should say they had the blackout, and then people started to loot and to riot. News broadcasts reported outbreaks of violence, looting, and fires. Areas of Harlem, Brooklyn, and South Bronx experienced the most damage. TV stores, furniture stores, clothing stores, and one report 50 cars were stolen from a car dealership in the Bronx. The police made 3,776 arrests, although from all accounts many thousands escaped before being caught. 1,037 fires burned throughout the city, six times the average rate, while the fire department also responded to 1,700 false alarms. Regardless of where you were, when the lights went out, New York streets teemed and sometimes burned with life. That was in 1977. Like I say, it was a different time, and people just apparently were giving up in those days. They were just, I remember the 70s, and baby, it wasn't all about disco. I can tell you that. When they start laying that disco crap on you, it was a much bigger, much scarier decade than that. Even though disco is frightening beyond all words, even though the mere thought of disco makes me want to just spontaneously vomit, it was, you know, the 70s was a lot scarier than that. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. We got news of other outages that we want to talk to you about. And also, last major U.S. blackout was in 1996, if you can believe it. The last big one, 1996, and it wasn't out east either. It was right here on the West Coast. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Well, the mystery deepens just a little bit. The office of the Canadian Prime Minister has said that a lightning strike at the Niagara power generating station caused the cascading blackout. My main man, Mr. Pelton, had been on the weather scan about a half hour ago, and he said to me, there's no lightning in that area. So we reported it first here, but my very good friend and colleague Matt Drudge is now saying the same thing. There was no lightning in that area. I think it's some freaking Canadian muskrat got in there and fried itself, and that's the end of that. I love our Canadian friends, but did you guys let some kind of a chipmunk in there and then, okay, now I get it. And now you're too embarrassed to say, we left the door open. Yeah, you left the door open again, didn't you? And another chipmunk went in there and got fried. I'm sorry, I was just going out to get a... Don't... Well, you're going to go out and get a cigarette? Go out and have a cigarette when there's somebody in here. And close the door. I don't want it to lock behind me. Well, then bring your keys, man. You want to go out and have a smoke? You leave the door open, chipmunk comes in, it's cooked, and now I don't have an electric razor. Jesus. Now, I want you to hear this. It's very important. It's a little technical, but it's extremely important for you to listen to this, okay? So you know how things work. You got to hear this, because I got an idea as to really what the problem is. There are the national grid of electricity. It's time we learned about this. Don't you think so, folks? Don't you think it's time we learned a little bit about what the hell is going on around here? How the hell do we get electricity anyway? And what do they mean they got to buy it from this guy and buy it from that guy? Let's start learning something. Otherwise, you can walk home in the dark. The National Grid is a large network of high-voltage power transmission lines that covers the United States and parts of Mexico and Canada. These lines, interconnected at hundreds of substations, it distributes electricity over distances spanning 3,000 miles east to west and north to south. Now, the portion of the grid that covers the U.S. consists of three interconnections known as the Western Interconnection, which covers all of the western states and western Canada, the ERCOT Interconnection, which covers Texas. The ERCOT Interconnection includes most of the electric systems in Texas and is linked with Mexico, and then the Eastern Interconnection. Now, if you look at the amount of land, if the amount of territory that the Eastern Interconnection covers, it's enormous. It's huge. It goes as far west as Montana. It goes as far north as the very northernmost provinces, the eastern provinces of Canada. It's as far west in the southern area as Louisiana, and then in the eastern area as Florida. It's just huge. Much bigger than the western one. And where are all the blackouts happening all the time? Out there. See, my stupid opinion is, it's too much space, see? If they had a little dinky tiny kind of space, it wouldn't be doing it, but because of the big space, it's doing it. So that's why they gave me a talk show. See, make it small, it doesn't black out. All that big space, they gotta, like, send the juice way out there. It's gonna black something out. Chipmunk comes in, guy has a smoke. Next thing you know, I walk home, it dark outside. See? So, in my opinion, if they just make it smaller, everything's gonna be good. One more thing. Every time someone turns on anything plugged into a wall, they're drawing electrical power from the power grid at the speed of light. When they turn on a light, the light draws power from the circuit breaker box. The box draws power from the line that runs between the house and the distribution line on a local power pole. Eventually, the line draws power from a power plant where the process begins. And all of that happens at the speed of light. It's amazing, it's incredible, and you are there. All right, 1-800-449-8686. In any event, some squirrel got into a meat locker up in Canada, and now we're all walking around. We can't find our ass without a flashlight. Here's Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Phil.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Let's see. You're asking about the Internet. That's a good example of our defense dollars at work.
My question was, let me restate so everybody knows what we're talking about.
Sure.
How come the Internet never goes down, and every 5 minutes we got a blackout going on around here?
Because the Internet was designed to sustain and work even after a nuclear attack.
Okay, now, when you say it was designed, who designed it, and how is it that all of a sudden we've got it?
I think it was Department of Defense. They sponsored the project.
What was the project called?
ARPANET, and I think it was Advanced Research Projects Agency or something like that.
And it was for the purpose of what, ARPANET?
To establish communications across the United States even after nuclear fallout.
Computer to computer or telephone to telephone or what?
I believe any kind of communication, even, you know, teletype, anything.
Interesting. So this was our way to continue communicating even after getting hit with a nuclear bomb.
Yep.
Now it's primarily used by computers?
Yep, now it's primarily, that's all it's really used by, I think.
And how is it that the general public has this?
I think basically after the Cold War diffused, it fell into our hands because they had this mainframe, or the, not the mainframe, but the big setup, all these billions of dollars stuck into it. So I think they just released it to the public. I'm not exactly sure on that.
Released it? The other question would be, when you say any kind of communication, so I can use the telephone over this ARPANET? I can use what?
Well, I'm sure you could use a telephone with the right, you know, cable.
Television and so on and so forth, right? Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So, in other words, there's a much, much greater chance that my daughter's iron lung is going to shut down than me not being able to access oldsploshers.com.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
I feel good about that. So that my daughter will slowly strangle because her iron lung doesn't work, but I'm sitting there logging down pictures of a 90-year-old woman squatting over a golf ball. All right.
You could go get a Honda generator.
You got it, babe. Yeah, well, that's true. I could.
If you cared.
All right, Stephen. Very good, man. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, bye. Good God. Does that tell you where our values lie or what? Look, and I ain't a big one on values. God knows I haven't got any. But there's got to be. You got to draw the line somewhere. You know, I need regular dialysis, Jim. I don't want to be logging on to www.achmedandme.com. Amateur wives. Good God, people! 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our website, philhendryshow.com, and as well, our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. We're going to come back with our mailbag. We also have our R.C. Collins letter of the day. We are in a kind of steadying news mode today. Everything that is relating to this blackout, we're going to be all over it white, like white on rice. We're looking at pictures of New York. Everything's beautiful. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. No terrorism involved. It was a simple case of, you know, our technology failing us, and I got no problem with that. It's just, you know, my question earlier was, how come some kind of technology fails and other kind don't? Niagara Falls today, here was the weather, 82 degrees and partly cloudy. 82 degrees and partly cloudy. Now, the humidity was at 69%. Conditions were around 82. The dew point, 71. Mostly clear forecast for tonight. So what exactly, where'd this lightning come from? What lightning are they talking about? We have a mystery. I don't think it was any. I don't think it was UFOs. I got news for you. It ain't little green men. And it wasn't terrorists. But I think the Canadians, I think they're covering up. I think perhaps it was not so much lightning as it was maybe, who knows, Sven sat on the wrong switch. I don't know. And I ain't going to blame Canada. But I'll tell you this much. Mars is at the closest it's ever been to the Earth in the last 300 years. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So when the Canadian Prime Minister says that it was a lightning strike that caused the initial cascade of power that overloaded the system, we all want to believe him. But when we go to a particular news source that we have here, which will remain anonymous, what the hell is this woman screaming at in a subway? They got some woman yelling in a subway. Yeah, it's going to help. Yeah, what's the matter? You're not getting enough service there in the subway? Train ought to be moving by now? Shut up. She's standing there screaming at the camera like, and this is the kind of thing, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to, I got to get home. And I, yeah, everybody's got to get home, lady. Everybody's got to get home. The only problem with announcing that there was a lightning strike at the time that the power outage took place, which was around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm looking at a record of weather at Niagara Falls International Airport, and during that period of time, there were a few scattered clouds, and that's it. There was no lightning in the area. Additionally, I'm looking at a radar map of lightning flash density across the United States, and it shows the flash density of lightning across the United States over the last 3 hours. Granted, This is a little bit after the time the power outage began, but there is nothing, I mean nothing, even within hundreds of miles of upstate New York that even approaches lightning. Nothing. So what do they mean a lightning strike in Niagara Falls? I don't get it, man. But that's just me. That's just because I'm an idiot and I ask too many questions. Is it some failing on the part of the Canadians? Who knows? But we are dealing, folks, with a way of distributing energy that's got to get better. I mean, and I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not saying it's somebody's fault. I'm just saying, as a collective race of beings, we got to get our act together. We got to pull our crap, our head out of our rear end, and let's get this thing going, okay? We got all kinds of improvements going on with the internet. Let's quit fooling around with the freaking internet, and let's get some energy going. You know, God forbid one of your kids is on a dialysis machine or needs some kind of electricity, and we don't have any kind of reliable energy source. We're too busy with our thumb up our rear end playing, you know, whatever, man, solitaire online. Playing poker online with the internet intergalactic poker tournament. Whatever. Or Halo or Myth or Thith or Thithy, which is my son Chris's favorite game. Because if you've got a grid that is so antiquated, we're talking about, folks, power distribution in this country based upon the original paradigm of the 19th century. Well, it just started growing out from there, so we got kind of a Western thing, and a Texas thing, and an Eastern thing, and the Eastern thing's way bigger than the Western thing, and I don't know. Don't you think that the power would be distributed as to the per capita population, so that the grid in the Northeast would be much, much smaller, or the grid in the East, or whatever the hell they're calling it, and the one out West would be bigger because we're not servicing as many people? Oh, well, that's New York. Everything's going to be cool, man. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Kobe Bryant, I think, is back in the news. I don't know what the hell happened now. Oh, yeah, his wife apparently needed an emergency assistance. That was the 9/11 call. We got him back in the news. There's another piece of garbage that apparently some guy on a professional football team ran a red light, slaughtered a whole bunch of people. Dallas Cowboy cornerback Dwayne Goodrich. He's got a manslaughter. You're right. He ain't guilty yet. He's got a manslaughter trial going on. And now they're finding out that missile thing was a lot bigger than we thought. That missile thing, they had a whole bunch of people want to buy them. Got to keep our eyes open. We got to keep our nose up in the air. We got to sniff which way the wind's blowing and what it smells like. Don't let your guard down. It's a garrison society. Ain't me to make this world. But I can tell you this much. This is the kind of stuff here where you see the best in people start coming out. And I tell you, has New York been it, or have they been the people that have shown us the way time and time again? We love to make the big jokes about New York, man, but that is the capital of the country. Those people pull it together when they have to. You know why? They got a sense of community in that town. They got a real sense of community in that town. Living out here in Los Angeles, which I got nothing against L.A., it's my hometown, and I'll always love it very, very deeply and wonderfully and warmly and all of that stuff. But, you know, I mean, it's a whole other thing, man. You coming from the West Side as opposed to the San Gabriel Valley, somebody coming from Orange County as opposed to Woodland Hills. I mean, you know, I'm living out in the West Side of the West Valley, and people look at me like I came from Mars because I said I come from Arcadia. Where are you from? The Valley. We're all from the Valley. Well, that's great. I come from another valley, the San Gabriel Valley. Well, that's not really a valley more. It's more like a cow pasture. But in New York, these people pull it together and they show us the way time and again. They're doing it again. No reports of deaths or injuries related to the blackout. New Jersey's lit up like a freaking Christmas tree, and Manhattan is as dark as the inside of a cow, and I don't hear anybody complaining about it. It's just fine. Guys over in Jersey are going, hey, 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 ho, ho, yo, ho. Guys over in Manhattan, anybody got a boat or anything? I like to. Mark's telling me, if I had a boat, I'd be making me some cash today. Simeon Rice would probably be saying, I'd be getting me some money today. Is that right, Simeon? What's that meathead doing now? Hey, New York, who's the tough guy now, huh? Who's the tough guy now? Hey, 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 hey. Yo.
Big Manhattan, huh? I got all the lights over here now.
Yankee Stadium is dark. Shea Stadium is dark.
Bada bing, bada boom, hey!
And ain't nobody going to no ball games tonight. All right. Generators are supplying power to some of the New York City buildings as we speak. Only vital services, and the rest of everybody else is just on candle power. You know what? That's the way it ought to be. Every now and again, just sit around the campfire and tell stories. And value what you got, baby. Love your children, all that crap. All right. Time now for the Phil Henry Show mailbag. The worst jock commentator of all time is Bill Walton. Just thought I'd throw in my vote for the dumbest comments I've ever heard. I'd rather watch the NBA Finals on mute rather than that idiot throwing out his horrible play garbage or his claims of elbows to the face before the replay shows otherwise. Has RC ever done any commentating? I'd love to hear play-by-play with RC, Bud, and Lloyd. Perhaps Margaret Gray on the sidelines with a special report. Great show as always, Mark. Not that Phil cares and all pro athletes are rapists and drunks and animals, but Ted Williams was a fighter pilot in both World War II and Korea, and the 3 years he missed during World War II, he was 26 to 29 years old, his athletic prime. Now, the fact that I mention anything positive about a pro athlete makes me a mindless sheep with no thoughts of my own. Rage on, Phyllis. Larry, a big fan. Been listening to you on KFI since just before September 11th. You are without a doubt the funniest radio personality I've ever heard. Yesterday when you recited Hannibal Lecter's All the Way to the FBI speech to that caller, I damn near drove off the freeway laughing. I can't believe the talent you have for keeping up two ends of a conversation the way you do. You even interrupt yourself, which makes the conversation seem so real. Bobby Dooley, R.C. Collins, Jay Santos, Raj Fanin, and Father McWhorter's hilarious. Also, I'd like to have to say that all of your serious commentary is right on the money, i.e. your views on sports stars, Muslim extremists, and others. Love the show. Ann Coulter. All right, that's our mailbags. The Phil Henry Show will be right back.
...1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
All right, well, the big blackout is what we're talking about. And, you know, it's just a news story that we got to stay on top of. So we've ratcheted down our otherwise scintillating satire, which, you know, we're on the radio and we're in talk radio. So when we say satire, we're already walking along a very dangerous edge anyway. But so tonight, we're giving a lot of people a break. We're giving them a break. We're giving them some standard talk radio fare. The last massive power outage in the United States occurred 7 years ago when high temperatures, sagging power lines, and unusually high demand for electricity caused a blackout that affected 4 million customers in western states. The outage was on August the 11th of 96, stretching from Oregon to San Diego and as far east as Texas and even parts of Mexico. Aha, see what I'm saying? There's that Texas grid, baby. The cascading power outage was caused when the power lines in the Northwest became unbalanced, affecting four main arteries that send electricity south. Power lines sag when there is too much juice going through them, when there's too much demand. The outage, one of the most severe in U.S. history, lasted up to 10 hours. Among other notable blackouts in the country are, in 12 minutes on November 9th, 1965, 80,000 square miles in seven states and two Canadian provinces went black, affecting 30 million people. It became known as the Great Blackout. On July 13th, 1977, 9 million people in New York were without power for 25 hours after lightning struck upstate power lines. Looting resulted in 3,700 arrests. On May 19, 1986, a switching problem in a substation at Grand Central Terminal in New York City caused a 12-hour blackout, affecting buildings in a four-block area. How many of these have they got? You know, pretty soon I'll be down to. On April 3, 2001, Mary Brown couldn't get her iron to work in her apartment in Hoboken. All right, well, there are the major blackouts. Hey, let me tell you what. Last night, I couldn't get a picture on my satellite television. Couldn't get a picture. Seriously. Actually, it wasn't last night. It was when the kids were on vacation. It was about a week ago. I couldn't get a picture. And I'm like, what kind of rotten, crap, stinking, lousy service am I getting from the satellite company? Now I can't get a stinking picture. Then I realized that my satellite dish is on ground. It's on ground level. It's not up on the roof. And I also realized that the last time I walked by it, it was overgrown with weeds. So I went to the garage and I got one of those, you know, big shears, and I started cutting away the weeds. Next thing I know, I got a picture. So it might be something like that, for all I know, that maybe somebody ought to just trim back a hedge someplace, and we got power. Tell them about power outages. I got the freaking power going out. You know, where I live, man, we got no electricity. We got a chipmunk on a freaking wheel someplace. It's unbelievable. They build these homes. We bought a new home. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we have got no cable, and you can kiss off mail delivery, and the L.A. Times don't come out here, and nothing like that. I'm going, what the hell did I just do? I'm in the middle of, what am I out here, in the middle of the Saudi Arabian desert? What am I, a homesteader or something? What do you mean there's no cable out here? Yeah, no cable, and no, I don't mind you not delivering the L.A. Times, nobody reads it anyway, but no cable? And no, what do you mean no mail delivery? They've got a mailbox way down at the end of the road. That's where we get our mail. Because the postman is too freaking lazy to come up the street and drop it in my lap. He's got to leave it in a box way down at the bottom of the hill, because that's how they do it out there in the sticks. So I got bigger problems in New York City, wouldn't you say? Other outages were reported in Pittsburgh and in parts of Pennsylvania. So this is spread just a little bit. Because according to the Canadian Prime Minister, lightning struck. And as we mentioned last hour, if you weren't with us, we haven't been able to find any recorded of lightning event at all in upstate New York during the time that the outage took place. No lightning at all. But they are saying that it was lightning. The FBI has said, the governor of New York has said, and the mayor of New York have all said this is not the result of terrorism. So everybody can just kind of chill out on that. The other thing that people were talking about after the blackout in 65 was a baby boom. They thought everybody was having sex in the street after the lights went out. Well, apparently that turned out to be a load, and I doubt very seriously whether that is going to be the case as well this time. What is that supposed to mean? If there's no lights, you want to screw more? Generally, if you don't have anything to do. And if the lights are out, man, I'm in New York, I want to get home. So that's the number one thing. Well, I can't get home. I might as well have sex with a stranger out in the middle of the weeds here. That was the 60s. God, times have changed. What preoccupation we had in the 60s with juvenile sex. Not mature sex, not real, let's get down and dirty, not real, like internet sex is what I'm talking about. No, back in the 60s, it was all about, ooh, it's dark, we must be having sex, and I dream of Jeannie and some gelded astronaut who doesn't want to have sex with the hottest-looking freaking genie out of a bottle you ever saw. And then they think that UFOs are causing power outages. What a sick, twisted, freaking decade that was. And then the 70s wasn't much better, and the 80s blew, and the 90s suck. Thank God it's 2003. 1-800-449-8686. We'll take phone calls for just the next 45 minutes. Then we're out of here. We have covered this thing up one side and down the next. We have been all over it like white on rice. Historically, contemporarily, economically, when we come back, we're going to be looking at Fox News and what a complete and utter humorless pack of fascist bastards they are. The fact that they're suing Al Franken. See, you guys can dish it out over at Fox, but you can't take it. We're going to have a lot to say about that coming up here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And Fox News, I don't know whether you were watching earlier, but Fox News wasn't quite sure whether to stay with the blackout story or not. Because they, you know, all of a sudden they lost their bearings over there. Maybe you guys are preoccupied a little bit too much with Al Franken and how he pissed you off and crapped all over your beautiful new garden. Because CNN was all over it. I mean, CNN, say what you will about CNN, as old and tired-looking as they are, I mean, they're on the story, sort of. I mean, at least since they got rid of that Aaron What's-His-Face, they know what news is. That guy, oh, my God. He's not still there, is he? He wouldn't know a news story, man, if it came up and French kissed him. So everybody is on the blackout, and Fox goes over to Scott Peterson and stuff like that. And then finally, I said, well, you guys are insane. So I flip back to CNN. CNN's all over the blackout, and then you flip to Fox about a half hour later, and they're on the blackout, and they haven't gone off it since. They went to Scott Peterson because they're thinking, well, it's all over. It's just a cheesy blackout. They don't get the ramifications of something like this. People, events like this are bigger than they were 20 years ago or even 5 years ago because of 9/11. We're all kind of just keeping an eye on civilization a little bit closer. You know, we're just kind of keeping our eye on the old gal a little bit closer. Which, by the way, people are asking, why is the Statue of Liberty still lit up? Because it's in the state of New Jersey. That's why. Now you'll know once and for all that the Statue of Liberty is not in New York State. It's in New Jersey. That's why it has a light on it, and that's why it's not dark. Fox didn't even cover the death of Bob Hope. They just weren't sure whether that was news. And somebody said, well, you guys, oh, I see, yeah, you're right. We better get over there. I don't know. What were we thinking? Because they're all bummed out that Al Franken's making fun of them. And they're actually making one of the most absurd claims. This is going to be a very serious case for anybody that is in the business of doing any kind of comedy for a living. Fox News is saying that the phrase fair and balanced cannot be used by anybody else, even in a satirical way. Even in a when someone is commenting or critiquing a performance or an entity of any kind. Fox believes they own it. And Fox News also believes that satire does not include being, quote, nasty. And they think they're the ones that will define what nasty is. In other words, they are one big totalitarian fascist organization. And they're beginning to show a weakness that most of these conservative individuals and organizations have. They can dish it out, but they can't take it. They have a very, very thin skin. They thought they were really ruling the roost. Clinton got elected. That really pissed them off that a Democrat would dare be elected the president of the United States. And then, of course, they dug and they dug and they dug and they dug for all kinds of dirt on the guy. Turns out it was an intern that undid him. Then they get a president back in the White House. Then they figure they're ruling the roost again. And so they think they can crap all over anybody. They think they can even rehabilitate the reputation of an alcoholic madman like Joseph McCarthy. They even are so bold as to dare to think they can rehabilitate the reputation of that insane individual, Joseph McCarthy. They even think that they can rehabilitate the reputations of individuals who unfairly and wrongfully accused people of being communists, which back in the 50s was like saying you were a child molester. If that's about how heavy it was. Imagine being called a child molester publicly right now. That's what it was like to be called a communist in the 50s. So basically, there were a lot of people that took their own lives. Yes, there were. I'm not blaming Joseph McCarthy necessarily for that. The House on American Activities did it, but it was all the same mentality. And these people are trying to rehabilitate these guys now to say that there was a communist conspiracy in America. Well, maybe there was. Maybe there were communists in the State Department. Maybe there are now. Fact of the matter is, you don't go out and smear innocent people. And you don't go out and say that everybody that's a liberal is a traitor and is doesn't love their country. Not only is it wrong, it's as stupid a statement as anybody could make. And on top of everything else, it is a mean, nasty, and irrational thing to say, which proves these people think that their stuff doesn't stink. Like that skinny-ass what's-her-name, Ann Coulter, who thinks that just because everybody wants to have sex with her that wears a suit and tie, that she's the hottest thing that ever walked. She's about as scary-looking as they come. And on top of everything else, she doesn't make any sense. She's just a mean, nasty woman. So now Fox is going to sue Al Franken. Well, Al, I hope you win. I hope you take him apart. They're going to learn that people can make fun of them. See, you know, for a long time, they figured they were the guys making fun of everybody. Well, guess what now? The shoe is on the other foot. And all of those smartasses that work there are going to find out that they're up for grabs, too, like everybody else. Canadian officials blamed a massive blackout Thursday across the northeastern parts of Canada on a lightning strike. But officials at the Niagara power plant have denied it. This is just as goofy as it gets. Brian Warner of the New York Power Authority said he wasn't sure where the power failure originated. The New York Power Authority's Niagara Power Project has at no time during this incident ceased to operate. We also have not experienced a lightning strike at the facility. But the Canadian office of Canadian Prime Minister Jean Chrétien, Jim Munson, who's a spokesman for that clown up there, that Chrétien. Hey, let me tell you something. During the Iraq War, we had Canadians calling Bush an idiot. I think it's only fair that in this instance where we can prove this guy's a moron, we say it. This guy's, we have been informed that lightning struck a power plant in the Niagara region on the U.S. side, said Jim Munson, a spokesman for Canadian Prime Minister Jean Chrétien. And it didn't take place at all. So, you know, who's running the show up there, man? All you had to do was go on www.weather.com, the weather channel. You could see there wasn't any lightning within 800,000 miles of New York State. Anyway, getting back to Al Franken, he's making fun, folks, so he's able to use that phrase, fair and balanced. And any judge that holds against him is a, I don't know what, then you're not allowed to do anything. You can't do anything. If you've ever seen a satire of any kind of a commercial in the back pages of a magazine or a satire, Larry Flint, that's why the guy went over to the Supreme Court. Flint had a goof ad for Smirnoff Vodka, which claimed that Jerry Falwell had sex with his own mother in an outhouse after drinking this kind of vodka. Very funny. And maybe it's true. I'm kidding. And so Falwell sued him for slander, libel, and Flint won. He won the case because Flint is a legitimate target for satire, being a public personality. And on top of everything else, no reasonable person is going to believe that based upon that satirical ad that Larry Flint put in the pages of Hustler magazine, no reasonable person is going to believe that Jerry Falwell had sex with his mother in an outhouse. That's what satire is. And these guys at Fox News, give it up, man. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start putting fair and balanced on my website. Let's see if they start crying again. They won't. But then I'll just tell Al Franken, hey, how come they're suing you, Al, and they ain't suing me? I got fair and balanced on my website. And he'll say, hey, good point. And then he can use that in his case. And then I can be a part of the settlement, and I retire. Okay, Doug, if you're listening, man, I want fair and balanced at the very top of the website starting tomorrow. Email Doug, will you? Fair and balanced with just a splash of cognac. You know, I don't know. No, let's just put fair and balanced. Fair and unbalanced. The Phil Hendry Show, fair and balanced. I want that to, you know what I want that, Chris? Take off funniest show in the history of radio and put in fair and balanced right there. Yeah, right in that, just temporarily take that off. And all of you guys out there that have websites, put fair and balanced on your website for the next week. Just the next 7 days. The fair and balanced hot sauce website, the fair and balanced porn website, the fair and balanced personal page, personal website. Everybody be fair and balanced just for the next 7 days. Let's see if Fox can start to laugh at themselves a little bit. All of you newspapers out there, anybody that's got a website, anybody that is the administrator of a website, just put fair and balanced on your website. Come on. Let's get this going, man. Spread the word. Get into chat rooms. Get onto email and all that bull crap. Put fair and balanced. Just see how many sites we can have fair and balanced on. NBC, ABC, CBS. Why don't you guys loosen the knot in your freaking necktie? Why don't you put fair and balanced at the top of your website?
You're going to get sued. Are you going to get sued?
Do your attorneys advise against it? Yes, of course.
All you cats that got radio shows, put Fair and Balanced on your website. Put Fair and Balanced on you Maddox, dude. You out there, man? Maddox has got a great website. Put Fair and Balanced on your website, you moron. All you listeners out there with your dopey websites, put Fair and Balanced. Dwight Yoakam, put Fair and Balanced on your website. Gary Oldman, put it on yours. Ian McKellen, put it on yours. And Matt Drudge, if you're listening to me, I want to see the Drudge Report, Fair and Balanced. Until there's so much Fair and Balanced out there, Fox realizes that they don't own jack crap. The only thing they own is Sean Hannity's rear end. Lock, stock, and barrel. They own that. They own it and they're selling it every day right out there on the street. Just kidding around, Sean, but
not really.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Fair and Balanced Phil Hendry Show. And we just bring it to you fair and balanced, baby. 24 hours a day, you know, whatever, how many days there are in a month, 12 months to a year. 1-800-449-8686. Our website address, www.philhendryshow.com. And our email is phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, there ain't nothing more to talk about this power outage, so we're going to move on. The power is going to be back on. Everything's beautiful. People are acting like human beings. The cops got it under control. It was a lightning strike or a squirrel or a beaver or something got into the juice. Something happened. We don't know. I mean, I think it was just people using too much juice, but then what do I know? And everything's going to be beautiful, you know, tomorrow. But they're going to have to figure out a way to keep this stuff from happening. This is not the first time I talked about this. But like I said, nobody listens to me. My philosophy is, my question is, why, when we have internets that don't fail and we have capabilities that obviously are much more consistent than our electrical supply, why is it we have an inconsistent electrical supply? What is it? Every, like, summer we're dealing with this. Are we not paying enough money to you guys or what? Are we not paying enough money for electricity? Do you need more money? You need more? What do you want? Blood? Our firstborn? What do you need? Is it just so hard? Is the job too hard for you, Southern California Edison, Con Edison, and the rest of you jackasses? Maybe you ought to give it over to somebody else. Because every freaking summer, oh yeah, I get it, I know, it's Gray Davis's fault. It's Pete Wilson's fault. You guys in the energy business suck, and you don't know how to deliver energy in any consistent form. You don't know how to deliver energy in any constant way. You are pathetic. You're pathetic. Blackouts every year, brownouts every year, turn off your air conditioner, turn off this, turn off that. Why don't you guys figure a way to deliver the energy that is limitless? It's energy, man. It's not like gas and oil. It's not going to go away. Don't tell me that there is a limited supply of it. You freaks just want to squeeze every last nickel out of people. That's your problem, you bloodsuckers. So sick and tired of you, I could vomit. Squeeze every freaking nickel you can out of every consumer out there that you can, even people on fixed incomes. You come up with some phony baloney plan or program for people who are on fixed incomes, how we can make it more easy for them to access energy. My ass. You got old people dying from heat stroke every year because they're sitting there melting in their apartment. Some old lady is dead in a bathtub. Well, what's one old lady more or less to you guys, huh? So long as you're just squeezing and choking and bleeding the last nickel out of every energy consumer in America. I blame you guys. That's who I blame. I ain't blaming Al-Qaeda. I ain't blaming Bush. I ain't blaming Davis. I ain't blaming Wilson. I'm blaming you guys that run the energy business. You are pathetic, you're losers, and you failed. You have failed. You have failed to do the job. Thomas Edison got you on the way in the 1880s. He showed you the way, and you guys have blown it every step of the way since. We got an internet, man, that can't go down. I can get on, like I've been saying all afternoon, man. I can get online to any porn site, anytime, any day or night, man. But turn on a switch in my house and hope that there's going to be juice there? That's a toss-up. I got to say a Hail Mary. Name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. All right, throw the switch. Nope, no lights tonight. Well, I guess the energy demand is too much, huh? You guys just can't keep up with pushing out the energy. Is that it? Maybe you guys ought to retire, give the job to a real man who knows how to do it. That's what I'd like to see you do, personally. Every last one of you bloodsuckers in the energy business, get out and put somebody in there that knows how to do the job. Knows how to do the job because they care about people maybe almost as much as they care about squeezing and bleeding the last freaking penny out of some poor slob for electricity. Got to sit here and make excuses for you jackasses and make everybody feel good? Hey, it's going to be okay. The power will be on tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Con Ed, huh? They're up all night. I hope those bastards never sleep. They're over at Con Ed right now trying to figure out how they can direct generators here and how they can do this there. I hope those guys never get another wink of sleep as long as they live. I bet you Gary Coleman could run. I know Gary Coleman could run the energy business better than you guys. Gary, forget about running for governor, man. We want you running. And I ain't kidding either. I think Gary Coleman's a funny and smart guy that's had to put up with a lot of crap like the rest of us. Gary Coleman's one of us. He's had to put up with endless amounts of dung, just like the rest of us. Unbelievable. I'm sitting here for 3 hours trying to make sense out of this, trying to give the information. What causes a blackout? Why is there too much energy demand? Is there this? Is there that? And I finally am sitting there saying, what am I talking about? These guys, every freaking summer, it's the same thing. It never ends with these guys. Oh, we got too much energy demand. Oh, do you? You got too much energy? Well, go out and get some more energy. Well, that's going to cost too much. Look, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to do your job, then I'm going to kick your ass off of the Boulder Dam. Oh, no, please don't do it. Ah! You'll be like that dude at the beginning of Goldeneye, man, minus the bungee cord. Jesus. Just, yeah, no bungee cord. Uh-oh. And every year we got to listen to you screaming and crying and bellyaching that you ain't got to, that the energy costs too much and we're going to have to buy more and it's going to cost this much. You're a bunch of thieves. You're a bunch of freaking thieves. We've proved that much. And apparently you run an operation that is so tenuous, that is absolutely so fragile and brittle, that lightning striking, a chipmunk roasting itself on a high power line, somebody farting into the face of the guy at the breaker switch, whatever it is, that's what causes 19 million people not to have energy, because you guys run an operation that is about as secure and sound as a freaking mobile home park. I mean, Snow White had more security than the average energy company. At least she had the seven dwarfs. What do we got? Good Lord. Every consumer of electricity ought to be spitting mad tonight on behalf of those people in the northeast of the United States. We pay through the nose. Good God Almighty. You're running your air conditioner. Excuse me if I want to cool down. You're the guys that told me you could do it. You mind if I use the bloody product that you're selling me?
Well, you may not want to overuse it. Let's see.
What exactly are you telling me? Can you do it or can't you do it? Get into another line of work. Try fitting kids with roller skates. I think that'd be a great thing for you, okay? You can spend the summer at the roller rink and just put the skates on the kids. You know, they won't smell the liquor on your breath. And you could just go back behind the thing and go, okay, kids. Here's the view, and you can start the Stroh's waltz, whatever you do. Sleep it off in your car. I don't know. Something's got to give. And I'm going to tell you something else. This recall in California, ho-ho, you think that's going to end the energy problem? What do you think's going to happen now? I'll tell you what's going to happen now. You have another person up there to be beholden to. Now you'll have Arnold up there. And he isn't, there's no special interest that has him, huh? What about the film business? Oh, they only do billions and billions of dollars worth of business. But I'll tell you something, that guy had better be pretty sharp, or at least sharper than the other lunkheads that have been in there to figure out how we're going to keep energy flowing into this state on a consistent basis with the amount of money that we stick into the pockets of those bloodsuckers morning, noon, and night. Con Ed. Boy, that's a good name for him. As in con. Freaking con job Ed is what it is. All right, I got to go throw up, but I'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Want to get into the R.C. Collins file. We have the R.C. Collins letter of the day, and this is in response, R.C., to your a diary entry in which you question, you wonder whether R.C. or whether Kobe should pay the girl off so that she'll remember better what happened that night.
Yeah, that's basically it, Phil. We're...
Calm down.
I know we're on the air right now.
Just calm down. What?
We're looking for people to... Do you think Kobe should pay her off to help her remember better or not?
All right. Now, do you have the letter?
Yeah, I do right here. It's the letter that I got right here.
Yeah, you don't have to rub it on the phone. Now, go ahead and read it.
Today's letter comes from John. Sounds like a fake name to me. Hello, R.C. How about Kobe give her $1 million 5 times to make her remember nice time? Then maybe you talk to girl about you being Bradley Academy cadet and show her good time. Then once you catch Osama and Saddam, then you be hero and get on radio show rather than Phil ask you dumb question. Hope kidney okay. John.
All right, so that's the winner, huh?
Yeah, well...
All right, so John's in the file, and they'll win what?
They'll win a Phil Henry Flexit ball cap.
All right, a Flexit cap from the Phil Henry Show. Thanks, Lord R.C.
Whatever. I know today's a big news day, isn't it?
Yeah, we're having the big blackout crap, so...
Yeah, you said you'd say that again.
He called me the A-word. What a punk, using language like that. 1-800-449-8686, and...
By the way, Phil, that's going to be on the Fair and Balanced website.
Yeah, the Phil Henry website. Good. So everybody make your website fair and balanced so that we can show Fox they don't own the dictionary. Like they think they do. All right, here's Alan. Alan, hello. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Mr. Henry. How you doing?
How you doing, man?
Oh, doing well. Thanks.
Good.
Thanks. Hey, I just wanted to call because I think you're blaming the wrong people for this power blackout. Instead of blaming the utility companies, the real blame should lie with the Public Utility Commission. Hello?
Well, what, are you going to make a point here, sir, or what do you want me to do, keep coaxing it out of you? Why is it with the Public Utility Commission?
Oh, okay. Well, basically, ever since the 1970s, they haven't allowed the various utilities to recover cost overruns on generator plants.
Overruns on generator plans.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So basically, if they come in beneath cost, you know, they don't get any benefit out of it. If they come in over cost on the construction, then they end up, the shareholders end up having...
And what power company do you work for?
None. None.
Right.
Okay.
Let me just say something, Alan. It's a con game. that's being run on the consumer, whether it's by the Public Utility Commission not giving the poor utilities back the money that they spend on the cost overrun, and so therefore they got to stick it to us, or whoever it is, it's a con game that's being done for a lot of money and very, very little service in return. And if I were the utilities, I'd lean on these state public commissions and say, you're making us look bad. We look like we're incompetent, because that's about the way it comes down to the consumer. The utility companies, Southern California Edison, Con Edison, wherever, the utility companies are the ones that are taking a hit in the public in the public relations department. They look like they couldn't power a freaking windmill.
I agree with you there completely. And I mean, they've been complaining about this. And people in the industry have been saying, you know, it used to be we had a 30% safety cushion. That has gone down to 10% last I read. My guess is it's probably less than that now.
Well, why is it going down to 10%?
Because nobody's building new generators.
Why not?
Because they're not being allowed to recover the costs.
Yeah, see, it's not profitable enough. They need to squeeze us more. They need to squeeze more money out of us so it'll become profitable enough for them to actually do their job well. Right now, they're saying, I can't do my job well because I'm not making enough money. And when I start making enough money, then I will actually become a professional utility company. Then I'll actually provide reliable service. Until then, we'll stick a gun to the ribs of the consumers in the person of the utility company or these public utility commissions, and they'll pay an extortionary rate for inconsistent amateur service. That's what we're getting from these blood suckers. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care. All I know is I'm being robbed, highway robbery by these guys, because they're not making enough money. And when they do finally make enough money, then they'll start doing their job. Thank you very much for calling, sir. I got to move on. Colette, hi.
Hello?
How you doing?
Hey, this is Colette.
How you been, Colette?
I've been great.
Cool.
I think that it's a big conspiracy to help the economy. I don't believe that lightning struck up in Niagara Falls area, because I was watching the PGA tournament and it was beautiful up in Rochester, New York.
Yeah, I know. We know that. That was just some dumbass in the Prime Minister's office in Canada. That's just one guy's opinion about lightning.
Yeah, but for the president to come out and say that it wasn't anything else, I think that that's pretty risky.
The president, what did he say?
He said that it was lightning and that they're looking into
President Bush.
Yeah, he had a news conference. He's down in San Diego.
Well, the company up there already said that it wasn't lightning, so he's not getting the right information.
You're right. We got to be careful about that.
Yeah, but it ain't no conspiracy.
You don't think so?
No, Colette. No.
Let's
move on from the conspiracy thing. Let's start taking our medicine, and let's move on.
Okay. Well, I
right?
trust you, but
okay,
I'm
hon.
Not sure. Bye.
Please be sure. Jesus. 1-800-449-8686. John. Hi, John. How you doing? Hey, how you doing?
You are a comedy genius. I want to say that.
You got that right.
there were so many things I wanted to ask you about. Number one, I'm going to start off our show tonight with the fact that it's a fair and balanced presentation and performance.
Oh, this is a fair and balanced call? Great.
Yes, absolutely.
There you go, man.
I do a dueling piano sing-along show, and we reference you
all
the time as far as, you know, slap the poor chap out of the hands and the... and the
yeah.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was your voices. Like I said, we do mostly like rock and roll type songs and stuff, and I've been noticing a lot of vocal fatigue and was wondering if you dealt with that ever and how you go from your... you know, your chest voice to your upper voice so flawlessly, and
Are you seriously? You know, I took voice lessons from a guy named Roger Love, who was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I learned that I had some bad speech therapy in the 80s. Terrible
right.
stuff that forced me to breathe too much. But I find that if I just do the exercises every day with the... goo 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 goo. I know it sounds stupid, and everybody's gonna look at you like you're a freak.
I do stuff like that, so. And
really get it up there and go from the chest voice to the... this is something that a singer would know. The chest voice to the middle voice, to the high voice. Because I lost my falsetto and now I have it back. See, and I didn't have no falsetto. It's because I wasn't really tightening the vocal cord up and going. For instance, Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. I used to think I was straining my voice when I do that.
Right.
That's good for your voice. To shorten that freaking, or what are we doing? We're stretch that thing, man, and work it out. You know what I mean by stretch that thing and work it out?
Hey, every day.
Yeah, each and every day, twice a day.
Yeah.
All right,
fair
brother.
And balanced.
Fair and balanced, yes.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, John.
Talk
all right. All right.
La, 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 la.
You know, I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you, there was a time when I didn't think that I would ever really be able to sing well, and then I went into a studio, and I cut an album. I don't know whether or not you guys like this, but it is available on my website, and it's me just singing, you know, some of my favorite songs. Thought maybe you'd like to hear it. This is just something that I cut. I hope you like it. This is Phil Henry singing Songs for Hollywood. Good night.
Hooray for Hollywood.
I really get up there, don't I?
Screwy ballyhooey.